If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Don't forget our show weekly, brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Time for What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. His part of the show every week, and join us on the show at udocs@gmail.com. Today we'll talk about how much a drink can cause a development in your baby's brain to be underdeveloped, and is there a mold carcinogen that could be a risk to our corn products? The greenest building in the world is in a major city. Where is that, and what is the greenest building in the world? And more on the West Texas explosion earlier in the week. That was just horrific as well. Dr. Mike, what do you like? What's your favorite story this week with Dr.
I think the one is, what can you do to prevent the West Texas explosion? And then the next one is the one on the corn and alpha toxin.
Okay, let's start with Texas.
You guys don't want to talk about a toxicologist's favorite topic, which is alcohol, the one toxic chemical that we all take in as a self-experiment. I mean, us toxicologists go to meetings and we might have...
I know that one already. Go to the other.
I want to talk about that one.
Okay. Anyway, West Texas would be in the headlines still today if it wasn't for the events in Boston, but they're both homeland security issues. And these large... this was a fertilizer plant, but whether it's a fertilizer plant or whether it's a chemical manufacturing plant, any large plant that has dangerous explosive chemicals or toxic chemicals in large quantities, that is near homes, that is near schools, that's a high vulnerability, a highly sensitive target site. Could be a site for terrorists to go after, or just an accident could do a lot of damage. And so you want to have those sites really oversighted properly by the authorities, and you want to have, of course, the industrial people running it. You want to have those people being really good, careful citizens and taking care of their due diligence. And unfortunately, I don't want to say there's a widespread laxness, but there is not a lot of oversight of these places. There was a bill in Congress in 2009 that the fertilizer industry spent millions on to defeat, which would have put more controls on the fertilizer industry, as well as some of these other chemical plants. Right now, since since September 11th, we have some fairly loose self-reporting kinds of things that these companies have to do, these high vulnerability companies. So, for example, they have to submit a risk management plan or an RMP. The RMP for this facility that blew up said that it didn't have any explosive materials on site. It just had some ammonia gas, which, if released, wouldn't harm anybody. So you can see how they soft sell the risks at their facility. And, you know, this facility had ammonium nitrate, large amounts of ammonium nitrate, highly explosive material, so much so that when the fire got to the tank with the ammonium nitrate, it blew to the point that there was a 2.1 on the Richter scale result. That was the force of this explosion. It was so explosive that the vibration, when it went through the town, people had internal body organ damage and concussions from the vibration going through their bodies.
That's fertilizer in itself is very, very combustible, isn't it?
And it's combustible. Yeah, that's the thing that Timothy McVeigh parked outside of the Oklahoma City building that when he ignited it, brought down the whole building. So fertilizer plants, large amounts of fertilizer, are very explosive, are very combustible. And then you put on top of that, a large amount of this ammonium nitrate liquid, and, you've got a tinderbox that's ready to blow a hole.
So what should you do if you live near one of these? Is the answer move away? Is the answer?
Yeah, given how there is right now not enough federal or local policing of these facilities, and hopefully this will change the tenor in Congress about making that possible. You might want to, when you buy a house or a site of school, you might want to think about the hazards and the terrorist hazards that could be in your neighborhood. What targets are there? What could do a lot of damage? And usually the inventories for a chemical plant in your neighborhood, the inventories and the releases from these places are online. You can find that out.
Okay. The other story that Dr. Mike wanted to hear about was the corn products story, and maybe a mold carcinogen could affect the corn products.
Yeah. Right. Well, we think about aflatoxin as mostly a problem endemic to China, where the liver cancer rates are higher. And it's a problem, though, in the southern United States as well from time to time, or can be. And that's related to there being warm, really warm, damp conditions, grains that are not properly stored, or drought conditions. And last year's drought in the south central U.S. really has ramped up the levels of aflatoxin in last year's corn crop, so much so that there were parts of the crop that they couldn't sell. They couldn't use. Now, if aflatoxin is in grain, the level, it has to be below 20 parts per billion before that grain can be used for human consumption. That's a pretty low amount, pretty safe. At the level that they could put into animal feed, 10 times higher, 300 parts per billion. So what they'll tend to do is they'll mix good clean grain with the aflatoxin moldy grain to try to get the levels down so it could be used for, say, human consumption or animal feed. They couldn't do that. The levels were so high last year, they couldn't mix it all out, so they still have leftover grain for this year. And with that, they've got leftover mold spores in their silos, which promises to breed another aflatoxin type of year if the weather conditions don't cooperate, if it's similar drought and hot weather. So at any rate, the problem, as I see it, is, you know, the number one vulnerability would be the dairy supply, because aflatoxin does get into cow's milk, and normally they're very careful what they feed dairy cows in terms of aflatoxin levels. But that's something that's going to have to be tightly monitored by FDA and by the whole dairy industry.
Is any of it safe? In other words, doesn't this aflatoxin stay in your body and stay in your liver for a long period of time?
Well, it is cleared, but it's a carcinogen that can damage DNA. So the less the better with this. So the quote-unquote safe level for human food is 20 parts per billion. That is a compromise in terms of zero would be better. Aflatoxin is one of those natural carcinogens that it's a battle to try to keep the levels down. You know, we've talked on the show about moldy peanut butter and how to make sure that you don't have mold growing in your peanut butter. That could lead to aflatoxin exposure in the home. But no, this is something that the average person is not going to be able to do anything about. This is something that has to be properly monitored by the agricultural, the USDA, and the FDA authorities to make sure that the leftover aflatoxin from last year does not find its way into the human food chain.
1 minute to go, Dr. G. You got to tell us where the greenest building in the world is.
Seattle. Seattle's Earth Day present to the country and to the world is a building of a new building. It's an office building. Self-composting toilets. All that's in an office. Well, think about this. Composting toilets in an office building where only one cup of water is needed to flush the toilet. That's how green it is.
Wow.
All the water on the roof is reused for, say, flushing of toilets and gray water use. Solar energy. So, you know, waste not, want not. And for this Earth Day, I would say use this building in Seattle as your mantra to the Earth of waste not, want not. Everything that you can collect for energy, can collect for water. Let's look at ways to save all those resources and save the planet.
Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not. His website is whatstoxic.com. Find things that are, find things that aren't. You may be surprised by some of that. Udocs@gmail.com, Udocs@gmail.com is our email address. Stand by for Straight Talk from the Docs with Dr. Arthur Perry. Stopping in with Dr. Mike and Dr. Mike's Relationship of the Week before the end of this hour. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.